Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
So, good morning. We are in the ninth ninth lesson of this series called Divine Resources. Well, actually, the Prosperity Ten Commandments. On mine, I have divine resources that never fail, so they're the same idea. And, you know, it's for me, it's fascinating being in a position where I have to work with these principles all the time. I've been working to put together the workshop for Capon Springs, which is on healing. And all the resources that I go to, I'm using a lot of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's works, Christian Healing, Jesus Christ Heals, Healing Letters, and How to Let God Help You, just some of them I can think of off the top of my head. Plus, listening to a lot of different YouTube videos, I'm really caught up in this guy, Sanjay Guru. I don't know how many people have heard of him, but him and Deepak and all of them, they're all saying the same thing. That's what I'm trying to get at. No matter what I'm reading, what I'm listening to, it's all saying the same thing. And basically that same thing is we have to transcend from where we are now. We have to look at the world totally differently. We have to come with a whole nother consciousness that our intellect is really challenging. And Sanjay Guru was talking about the difference between intellect and intelligence. Intellect is a gathering tool. All it wants to do is gather information, but it doesn't necessarily do anything with it. We want to be able to say, we know about this, we know about that. But when you ask somebody, what are they doing with it? A lot of times all we can say is we know it, but it hasn't really done much to change us. So hopefully in our quest here, in terms of the way these lessons are designed, it's not just to gather information, but it's sort of to challenge ourselves in terms of where we are to move us in a different space. And the whole key on all of this is that every experience you have is designed to do that. Not for you to react to the experience, but for you to awaken to the fact that there's a whole nother way of being. Is that making sense? All right. So the commandments for today, the ninth commandment from Moses is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The prosperity interpretation of that, the prosperity ten commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against the source of thy supply. All right, and we're going to get into that. So if we've been studying the basic foundation for spiritual economics is the idea that God is a source for all of my supply. God is a source for all of my supply. Say that with me. God is a source for all of my supply. And as it is with all truth, the very essence of this divine idea challenges the foundation of human perception. Because we will say God is the source of all my supply, but then when something comes up in our lives, whether it's healing for healing or money or relationship or whatever it is, whenever it comes up, we jump to the outer source without bringing into expression the inner source. All right? And you know, that is the nature of the paradoxical idea of being human. All right. Now, Georgiana Tree West, she explained it this way. She says, our earthly experience is a strange paradox. The paradox being that in truth, we are divine, changeless beings moving in a realm of constantly changing conditions. We are spiritual beings, said it with me, having a human experience. But the paradox is the spiritual side of us, which is changeless, nothing really out from the outside affects us, is constantly involved in this constantly changing environment, constantly challenging environment, all right? And she goes on to say, we are God's image and likeness, a triumph of spiritual perfection, but find ourselves negotiating our way through conditions of sinful temptation, disease, financial challenges, relationship difficulties, and death. these conditions exist in our, listen carefully, in our sense mind as self-evident facts having no existence apart from the strong belief that we give them. They, in other words, all the stuff we struggle with, it only exists in our mind. I did a whole thing in my class on Thursday about perception. The whole idea, there is no reality, there's only perception. There's only what's going on in my head. Okay, and again, listening to Deepak and the Sanj Guru talking, Deepak is very scientific. He has scientific experimentation for spiritual ideas. Sanj Guru says, I'm totally uneducated. All this just comes to me, right? But both of them were saying the same thing, that there is nothing out there, it all exists in here. It's all consciousness. Consciousness creates every experience we have. So in other words, let me just read this last one again. These conditions exist in our sense mind as self-evident facts. I will say to you, yes, my hip hurts. That's a self-evident fact, okay? But it has no existence apart from the strong belief that we give them. We give it that belief. But you say, oh, no, but it really hurts. All right? But have you ever cut your finger or didn't know you cut yourself, and if somebody told you, you go, oh, no, and then it hurts, right? You give it all of the power then because now you've seen the experience. So, the negatively challenging conditions that are a part of our human experience have no existence in God, nor in the divine aspect of our own being. Did everybody catch it? Okay. So we create and hold on to the physical conditions we experience in this physical realm, thus creating a veil that blocks us from seeing or even perceiving that in truth we are divine. So, if we got together and we started talking, we said, oh, yeah, I'm struggling with this and I got this going on, or we're excited about this and excited about that. We've got all these things that are happening out here, but they really have no existence in the true aspect of our being, okay? So we create and hold on to these ideas. The thing is, we are divine. That is the truth. And that challenges the very foundation of our human perception. We are divine. I am divine. You are divine. But that challenges the perception of our human condition. Does that make sense? All right? So what we're striving to do in our studies is transcend our human perception by constantly asking ourselves, how do I experience God in myself and in my life over and above what appears that I'm actually experiencing? So if I'm going through a struggle in my life, how do I perceive the dynamics of God in my life over and above this thing that I'm struggling with? That's where we have a hard time. Meaning, for example, if I'm experiencing a health challenge or financial challenge or relationship or work or emotional challenge, how do I transcend what I'm experiencing instead of experiencing God? Okay? And this is our ultimate spiritual goal. The ultimate spiritual goal, and Sanj Guru was giving an example, and this guy, Sanj, is spelled S-A-D-H-G-U-R-U, S-A-D-H-G-U-R-U. He was sitting with, and if you go on the internet and pull him up, he'd been invited by Harvard Medical School, Yale's Medical School, the UN. All of these different places are inviting him in. And he was talking about this idea. He said, you have seen me in the wild. You saw the video of me in the wild. And I sat with a king cobra from the wild. I picked it up and I held it like a pet, a king cobra. And it did not bite me, because there was nothing in me that had any fear. He said, if I had had 1 ounce of fear, it would have bit me and I would have died in 20 minutes. So the key here is, what do you sense? Getting to that place where there's no thought of fear at all. Can you even think about, can you perceive what that's like? Even if you're sitting on the beach drinking a pina colada, you're fearing that it's going to be gone soon, right? You're like, where can I get another one? So we're always dealing with fear at some level or the other. So You know, how do we make this shift in our mind and consequently in our experience from the physical realm to the spiritual realm? And this is our spiritual quest, that being to make that shift in our thinking and knowing from the physical realm to the spiritual realm. Now, this may be difficult to grasp, but the basic premise of the commandment we're studying today is pointing to the fact that if you are not seeing God in yourself, as yourself, and in your life and affairs, and you're not seeing it in your neighbor, referring to the people in your life, you are bearing false witness. See, that's what's so deep about when you take the commandments to the next level, all right? Now, you say, yes, why, you say, why is this? Why am I, you know, bearing false witness? It's because you're not making the shift from human thinking to spiritual knowing, or from human perception to spiritual understanding. Right? Now, it has to do with the basic nature of the concept of truthfulness. From the standpoint of being accurate, meaning spiritually accurate, in our assessment and appraisal or judgment of the people and circumstances in our life. So truthfulness is, this person has done something against me that I don't like, or this is happening I don't like. That is not being truthful from a spiritual perspective. You're blaming. So Sanjguru, and one of the things a girl said to him, how do I get to a place where I don't feel like people are judging me, right? How do I get to that place where people are not judging me? And she told a story of a friend of hers who was drinking, and as she was drinking, she kept saying, don't judge me while I get drunk. All right. So Sanjguru looked at her and he says, right now what you're seeing is I'm stoned. But I'm stoned from a standpoint of being blissful. Meaning it does not matter to me what you think of me. So you guys heard the thing, what you think of me is none of my business? Yeah. It's the same idea. Okay? But the marketing industry plays on that. If you don't have this in your hair or this in your, or this or that or what, you know, people will judge, you know, and we go through that. So we go out and we buy and we do so we can be like everybody else. You know, you heard about Keeping Up with the Joneses, that same concept, all right? So it's getting to that mindset where you are being truthful, but the truthfulness is, so when you're upset about what is happening outside of you and how it's affecting you, you're not being truthful to the truth of your being. You're bearing false witness. You're saying, I'm upset because. Does that make sense? All right, you sure? All right, okay. So to bear false witness is to be untruthful. To bear false witness is being untruthful. It basically means that you are not acknowledging the good that God is as being the true potential for good in every aspect of your life. In other words, if I'm experiencing or acknowledging lack or limitation as my reality, I am at the same time bearing false witness to the truth that God is divine substance, omnipresent, omniavailable as my supply. If I'm experiencing acknowledging sickness as my reality, and this is a hard one, I am at the same time bearing false witness to the truth that God is life, omnipresent as my life. If I'm feeling forsaken or by others or depressed or lonely or rejected, I am at the same time bearing false witness to the truth that God is love, omnipresent as my strength, my comforter, my inspiration. In other words, God is the source of all my supply. Is everybody following me? Okay. And these statements are not meant to judge us, because when you are feeling something, like right now, I am feeling some discomfort in the gluteus minimus. I had to look it up to see right where it was. Right? From overwork, from, you know, working 5 miles every day and all this stuff, it just caught up with me. All right? I'm experiencing it. But instead of focusing on that, I'm focusing on this. You get it? So it's sort of like getting caught up in the dynamics of the spirit of things as opposed to the thing itself. So, you know, so if you're experiencing some kind of an illness, we're not saying that, you know, you're bearing false witness and being, you know, judging that concept. Everybody with me? Okay. These are meant to make us aware of the present state of our mind as compared to the potential for the spiritual awakening that's available. So in other words, when I'm experiencing something, we're not saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. We're saying there's another possibility. You know, you can focus your attention on another possibility. I was telling the prosperity class last week about Peggy Bassett. She's a minister, I think a science of mind. Very tall woman, maybe about 6'2". And she came into an INT, International New Thought conference, hundreds of people, with two canes. And so, we're always saying, what's in your consciousness that created that? You know how we say that to people? That's a very unkind thing to say. And she got up on the stage in front of hundreds of people and says, the next person says that to me, I'm going to hit him upside the head with one of these canes. All right? So the idea here is, as we are talking about trying to understand the alternative to claiming what we are struggling with, the alternative is to move our consciousness to this higher place. And that takes a tremendous amount of work. Tremendous. You have to be conscious of what you're thinking, saying, and doing all of the time, which means you have to be awake. And as Sanjay Guru said, if you're not awake, you're not aware. You can't be aware if you're not awake. So we have to keep ourselves in the mindset of what it is we're striving to do. So to be fair to us, the negative challenges we're experiencing are the result of the paradox we find ourselves living in. The paradox being that we are God's image and likeness, a triumph of spiritual perfection, but find ourselves negotiating our way through conditions of sinful temptation, disease, financial challenge, relationship struggles, and death. So we are God's perfect demonstration, perfect being. But we're caught up in these struggles. The struggles are purely to help us to realize who we are. That's the key, all right? So in this paradox, we're striving to realize and transcend. That's what we're striving to realize and transcend. And the transcendence begins with the development of a deep inner knowing that the universal presence we call God is always present and responding to our needs all the time. Remember, Jesus said in John 5:17, my Father is working still and I am working. God is always at work. God never takes a break. All right? It's always at work. If that which is the universe took a break, first of all, we'd be floating up in the air. And we'd find it hard to breathe. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All kinds of stuff would start happening. All right. So if you need God to be physical substance to eat, or tangible cash to spend, or you need God with skin on for some tender words and a gentle touch, God in its infinite wisdom and absolute love will manifest itself to you in that form which you need to comfort you in this particular moment. I had my department chair, who, that's a very challenging job at the thing, and sometimes you can tell in her emails that she's frustrated, and I will always respond to what it is she wants responded to and then put a gentle message. And when we were in the big meeting, she passed by me. She said, Millage, I appreciate those things you write in my emails. And I just touched her on her shoulder. And you could see just the energy relax. That's what we are in the world. You get what I'm saying? That's what we are in the world. We are the ministers who go out to share this ministry with people, not by telling them what we believe, by being a demonstration of that love. Okay. However, it is imperative that you come to realize that you can inspire divine substance into action by your desires. You can inspire divine substance into action by your desires. And at the same time, deny yourself from receiving the fruits of your desires by feeling at some level a sense of not being worthy of that which you desire. Did everybody hear that? So you can, okay, so I understand that God is responding to my desires. And so you, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. We just sang the song, right? Our thoughts are prayers, we're always praying. And so we put this desire out there for what it is we want. And at the same time, we can have this feeling of not being worthy of that which we just asked for. And so now you're creating a conflict. Okay? You're creating this conflict. Even God, the one true giver in the universe, cannot force us to receive our good. So you put it out there. The Father knows what you want even before you ask. And so the divine process starts pulling together the resources to give you what you ask for. And then you are countering that by your own inner doubt and fear and feelings about that thing that which you just asked for. So your whole being has to vibrate. And that's what today's Prosperity Plus class is about. Your whole being has to vibrate with this desire that you say you have. And we do this by preparing ourselves to be recipients of God's answers to our prayer. So you make the prayer, and you have to prepare yourself to receive that which you just asked for. That preparation involves denying the negatively challenging experiences in your life from establishing themselves as being true in your mind. Because a lot of times we say, well, I've asked for this, and I didn't get it before. Or I got it before, and somehow I lost it. You know all the things we go through? That familiar dynamic that we go through? And so you have to kind of prepare yourself for that process by clearing your mind. Now, according to the ninth commandment that we're looking at, to give power to the negatively challenging experiences in your life is to bear false witness against the source of your supply. This is why I say I want, but there's something in me that doesn't believe I'm worthy of that which I am asking for. Okay. It even comes down to those of us who are getting older, the saying that, well, this is just what happens when you get old. You get what I'm saying? This is just what happens when you get old. It doesn't have to happen. Right? You don't have to get old either. You can have a birthday, but you don't have to get old, right? But you see how the language that we use normally is actually causing us to bear false witness, okay? So in other words, when you give power of a negatively challenging experience in your life, when you give it power, you are in essence saying that this thing that is challenging me is greater than God. That's what you're saying, okay? And the difficulty in this process is there is an accumulation of false beliefs that are established within us as a standard belief system, which is fixed in what Charles Fillmore calls crystallized race consciousness. Crystallized race consciousness is the consciousness of the race just normally thinks like this. It's just how it is. Meaning if we casually speak of lack, sickness, addiction problems in relationships, personal idiosyncratic, you know, things about people that we don't like in our conversations, we are at the same time bearing false witness. So we get together and say, well, how are things going? Well, you know how we go on, right? That's bearing false witness against the source of our supply. So what we're doing here, we're not condemning ourselves. We're awakening ourselves that our language is what's creating a lot of our problems. All right. One of the things I was reading in, I guess it was Healing Letters, I don't know which one it was, Myrtle Fillmore was saying, a person who their only thought, this is one of many examples, their only thought is, I got to get more money. So they work hard, and that's what they're doing. Money is their dynamic. That's what they're going after, the accumulation of money. She says, that energy eventually can lead to diabetes. So this whole healing thing we're going to do this weekend is to talk about how our actions manifest in our bodies as diseases. And the word dis-ease means what? Dis-ease. Okay? So our conversations, everything. It's like you got to catch yourself. You know, your mind is getting ready to say something. You go, what? No, I'm not going to say that. And some person goes, what were you getting ready to say? Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything. I changed my mind. All right? So it's sort of the difference between typical affirmations like, I don't have enough or I won't have enough versus, no matter what, I know that God is my instant, constant, abundant source of supply. simply, which do you prefer? Do you prefer the conversation that you can engage with people about why things are going the way they're going, you know, going in your life? Or do you prefer to just go within and hold this higher thought, make this higher connection, you know? It's not only which do you prefer, but most importantly, which do you believe is true for you? Okay. So the unity teachings are based on a realization and utilization of divine ideas. The unity teachings are based on the realization and utilization of divine ideas. Let me say that again. The unity teachings are based on the realization and utilization of divine ideas. The reason why I repeated that is because somebody says, well, what do unity believe? Well, unity believes in the realization and utilization of divine ideas. Okay. Say that three times real fast, right? Okay. But you get what I'm saying? You know, that's basically what it is. So that's why that we are called practical Christians, which means we have to practice that which we are studying, all right? Now, listen to this. This is an article that was in USRS. That was initials for Unity years ago, and I don't remember what those stand for. But it was a newsletter from 1992, and it's Ed Rabel. Many of you have only heard about him through me. He was reiterating the lessons of Charles Fillmore. This is what he said. This is what Charles Fillmore says. There's three things. One is, when it comes to health, it is imperative that we understand that life is a divine idea. Health is a reproduction of that idea in the human body. There can be good health, poor health, or indifferent health, but the original reality, life, is perfect and eternally present. Life is omnipresent. That's one. Everybody catch that? Okay. Two. When it comes to supply of our every need, it is imperative that we understand that substance is a divine idea. Supply is a reproduction of that idea. There can be rich supply, poor supply, or indifferent supply, but the original reality, divine substance, is perfect and eternally present. Substance is omnipresent. Okay? And the third one is, when it comes to relationships, it is imperative that we understand that love is a divine idea. Relationships are reproductions of that idea. There can be harmonious, compassionate, loving relationships or confrontational and indifferent relationships. But the original reality, love, is perfect and eternally present. Love is omnipresent. Yeah. So whatever we are experiencing, if we're bearing false witness, meaning we're not holding the higher idea, that higher idea is omnipresent. It is always present, whether it's love or supply or health or whatever, it's always present. Life is always present no matter what I might be experiencing in my body. The key is, can I move myself from what I'm experiencing to life? Can I move myself from what I'm experiencing to divine substance? Can I move myself from what I'm experiencing to love? Does that make sense? I'm going to tell a quick story. Can I tell a quick story? Okay. So Pam and I were having our driveway repaved, right? And this guy, Frank, he comes through blowing his horn, to, you know, coming in and said, I did your neighbor here. And sure enough, he did all the neighbors in the neighborhood, and we needed ours done. So he says, we're getting ready to go. That's when we get ready to go to Canada. I said, we can do it while we're gone. And so we get back, and he had done half the driveway. So I call him. He calls up. He says, what happened was his pump broke halfway, and he had to get the pump fixed, and it was fine. So he came, and he finished the driveway, but when I went out and inspected, you know, Pam and I were standing, it looked good, but the next day I paid him, went out and inspected it. The second half of the driveway, I could tell really needed to be done again. So I called him, of course, get no response, he's gone, right? And so, you know, a week goes by, I can't get in touch with him, and my mind started going. You know what I'm talking about, right? About how we got ripped off and, you know, the whole bit and Frank and the whole thing. But in the meantime, I'm working on, you know, my Sunday talks and the retreat. and it always comes to me in the middle of the night, you know, like Spirit goes, right? And I said, that's not it. I said, so, and Frank was a nice guy, really nice guy, you know? So I changed my whole thinking process. And I said, you know, it really is irrelevant whether a driveway gets done or not. That's not what's important. What's important is that I hold Frank in the highest of esteem, in the highest of love and compassion. Because I don't know what's going on in his life, right? And my whole mind changed. And I really didn't care about the driveway anymore. And 3 weeks went by and, you know, hadn't heard anything. And Monday morning, past Monday morning, doorbell rings at like 8 o'clock or something. There's Frank. He had been in the hospital with blood clots in his lung. Okay, you have to tell your story later, though. Okay. but you get when it, you get the dynamics of how the process works. You know, it's the thing itself that we're so concerned about is not important, especially with if a human being involved. What's involved there is holding love for this individual. You don't know what they're going through. You know. So that's, you know, that's the working of it. And, you know, again, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 22, 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. He was teaching us that if we keep our thoughts continuously focused on God as being omnipresent, meaning always present as a presence, we would be holding in mind or bearing witness to the truth, meaning that which is eternally true, no matter what the outer appearance might be. And this continuous focus on God would fill our whole body with divine light. And that, when your whole body is filled with divine light, that means your mind, your body, your spirit, your life circumstances are filled with light. And remember, I wasn't filled with light when I first was thinking about Frank, right? I filled myself with darkness. And I got it. That's not what I want. Regardless of the driveway or whatever is going on out here, I want to be full of light. That's what you got to say to yourself. I don't care what is going on in my life. I want to stay filled with light. And if outer circumstance or events present an unfavorable challenge, we can either choose to acknowledge that this is our reality and become emotionally altered by it, or we can declare the power and presence of Spirit as our true and only reality and thus maintain our oneness with Christ. And it doesn't mean we ignore what's occurring. This is important. It doesn't mean you ignore what's occurring. It doesn't mean that we do not act with appropriate response to situations that are in front of us. For example, if the doctor says you need this medical procedure, you need to go through that medical procedure. Or what, you know, if we find out we can't meet our financial obligations or whatever the situation might require, the idea we're studying is to work on not judging our experience in such a way that it expresses a belief that the experience itself is greater than God's capacity to respond to it. And to respond to it through us. And God can only respond through us when we're full of light. If we're full of darkness, we can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't experience it. All right? So it's our work as true students to maintain a consciousness of peace and faith that's firmly grounded in Christ. Being firmly grounded in a consciousness of peace and faith will not only stabilize and harmonize our emotions, our peace and faith will spill over into our outer circumstances, and it will serve all of those who are around us. It's like the department chairman. When I laid my hand on her and I said, I didn't even say anything. I just laid my hand on her. You know, there's a gentleness. And it wasn't that I said to myself, oh, let me do this. It just happened. It's like always leaving yourself available to be that instrument. So when a challenge, favorable or unfavorable, presents itself to us, we must not succumb to any false illusion that the situation has power to disturb our inner peace and faith as God is the healing presence. Our work is to always remain open, to be channels of divine supply, to let it flow through us and into our lives and into the lives of those around us. And we need to remember that we allow life's challenges to distress us and knock us off our center. When we do that, we are bearing false witness, meaning false confirmation that there is something outside of us that has more power than what? That was exists inside of us. Okay? Anytime we bear false witness to the illusion of outer appearance of power, we simultaneously bear false witness against God as the true source of our power. So, we can believe in both the presence of the power of the world and the presence of the power of God. You say, well, I believe in God and I believe in what's going on in the world. You can't do that. You cannot serve two masters. You got to figure out which one you're going to serve. All right? And it becomes a real conscious process. Every moment you got to say, which one am I going to serve? All right? And quietly and persistently, we must guide our thoughts to be centered in God's omnipresence and goodwill for us. Now, I'm going to end with four steps of how to deal with outer challenges and people. The first one is embrace a divine idea as being your true reality. Embrace the divine idea as being your true reality. Now, to embrace a divine idea, say, could be God is the source of my supply, or God is my instant, constant, abundant source of supply, or God is my all, or God is. Whatever, yeah, whatever it is. Pick a Bible verse, pick something that when stuff hits you, you embrace that divine idea rather than what's happening. That's the key. That's number one. Number two, hold on to that idea as being your truth no matter what you may be experiencing. Three, be totally open to all the guidance and gifts that will flow from that divine idea. Because if you hold to that divine idea is going to feed you with a divine guidance of what to do. Okay? And four, give thanks in advance for the good you know you will receive. Okay? And in the end, keep in mind our standard foundation statement. You can say it with me. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen.